In March, we're airing programs that were rated the best last year, and today's program is one of them.
Too many people, first time they're coming to a speed bump in life, they jump out of the boat.
Well, yeah. That was stupid.
Boats don't have speed bumps.
Ah, speed bump. Why'd they put that there?
Ken Davis is our guest today on Focus on the Family, and he's offering a humorous look at life, marriage, and kids. Welcome to our broadcast. Your host is Focus President Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, we've got a great two-part presentation from Ken Davis to share, and I think it's going to inspire all of us in more ways than one. But I don't want to give away any more than that, so let's get rolling.
All right, here's Ken Davis from his DVD called Fully Alive on today's Focus on the Family.
I am so happy to be here. I have never felt better in my life. And to go on, so I got you a little bit of an introduction there, I want to let you know I am not right. I have never been right. I never will be right. I have been weird from day one. I enjoy things nobody else enjoys. I am weird, and it's getting worse. It has gotten worse. As I grow older, I seem to get weirder. I'm going to tell you a true story. I was at a meeting the other day. I had a meeting, about an hour and a half meeting. And at the end of that meeting, as I headed out the door, I did what I now do almost every day of my life when I'm headed anywhere. I do the Macarena. On the way to the airport, I call it the airport Macarena. You remember that Macarena dance? Yeah, it's that, except I do it to check to make sure I have everything that I'm supposed to have. How many do the Macarena? You're just checking. I got my passport, got my keys. Oh, yeah. And I froze. No keys. My wife is on me all the time because I grew up in the country in northern Minnesota, and we did not lock doors and we did not take keys out of the car. Why would you take keys out of the ignition? You will lose them if you take them out of the ignition. You don't have to look for keys if they're in the ignition. No one ever stole anything. No one ever broke into our house. And so you just kept them in the ignition. And my wife would say to me, do not do that. Now I have left the keys in the ignition. And I am afraid that she might find out. And so I make my way out of this building. And I know exactly where we came in. I know exactly where the car is supposed to be. I walked out and it was gone. My car had been stolen. Now I was in big trouble. So I picked up the phone. My first call was to the police. I said, I was in a meeting and I am afraid I left my keys in the car, but you need to come. My car has been stolen. I want my car back. Would you please come? And I gave them the address and said, will you come here? And then I hung up the phone and I called my wife. This was the most troubling call of all. And I said, sweetheart, I know you have told me that I should never leave my keys in the car, but I left my keys in the car and I came out and, baby, the car is gone. The car had been stolen. You women have no mercy. There was a long pause. I said, are you there? She said, Ken, I dropped you off. That's a true story. I said, can you come and get me? She said, yes, I will be there in about 15 or 20 minutes. I said, no, why 15 or 20 minutes? Can you come and get me now? She said, I will be there in just a little while. I said, why just a little while? She said, I have to convince this policeman that I have not stolen your car. So is it okay if I'm a little weird? The second thing I want to tell you is I want to hear the truth. I have been lied to by politicians. My uncle was a weatherman. I spent my whole life shoveling partly cloudy off of the driveway. I want to hear the truth. I have been married for 43 years. I was speaking to a group of a couple thousand preachers, and I told them I have been married 43 years. They stood to their feet in a standing ovation. Now, moments like that are made for me. I am weird. I let them clap. They clapped. When they stopped clapping, I said to 7 different women. That makes preachers stop clapping. You have not lived till you watch a couple thousand preachers try to erase their applause. The truth of the matter is that I have been married for 43 years to the same woman. Her name is Diane. I love her with all of my heart. But we have a real marriage. People think that somehow, that because you stand on stage, or because you preach, or because you're a movie star, you got your life all together. It isn't true. Everybody faces a life that has all kinds of problems and conflicts. You wouldn't believe the people that come up to my wife, Diane, and they say to her, oh, it must be so wonderful being married to him. Laughter in your life from morning until night. She throws up on those people. Because we have real... A guy came up after that very same program, and he came up to me. And remember, I cannot stand to be lied to. He came up to me, and he said, my wife and I have never had an argument. And I was getting mad. I'm getting lied to. Then he said, we've never even had a bad thought toward one another. And I could not hold back any longer. I said, you are married to a carrot. You are not married to a human being. Give me a break. I see a lot of young people here, a lot of young men and women. Let me tell you something. A good marriage is not the absence of conflict. A good marriage is two people who love each other and have committed themselves to each other, who have determined to live through the tough times and conflict together. That's a good marriage. I'm going to level with you. I'm going to tell you the truth tonight. I'm going to try and be as honest as I can about everything. And I will tell you, I love this woman, 43 years of marriage. We argue. We have conflicts. Give me this. We never had a bad thought toward one another. We argue, and it's getting worse the older we get. Because neither one of us can hear anymore. We have entire arguments with just one word. What? 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 And women, look at me. I told you to look at me. If you want to say something to us, do not seclude yourself into some remote
closet in the basement and start mumbling to us from there. Let me tell you something. When you're weird and you want the truth and you appreciate common sense, airport is a dangerous place for you. The security line in the airport is particularly dangerous. People say to me, oh, it must be so nice to travel. Oh, yes, it's just a joy. They were going over me one day. Actually, what really got me started was I was at the airport not long ago, and there was this little lady. She's 90, at least 90. She is in a wheelchair. She has been screened once, but they have chosen her for secondary screening. At this airport, it's a random thing, because evidently there's something very suspicious about her wheelchair. This drives me nuts, but I'm not saying anything. I do not like jail. So I am quiet. I've been in trouble before. They were going over me once with the security thing that looks just like what your mom and dad used to whoop you, but it's got little lights and music. Going over me, and when it got right here, it went off with the national security alert. Beep! The man said, pull up your sleeve! Now, he was mean to me. See, here's one thing I just say, just be nice to me. And by the way, I've met hundreds of these men and women who are very nice, who are very kind. But this one had a patch on that shoulder and a chip on that one. Pull up your sleeve, he said. I pulled up my sleeve like that. And I am telling you, the man said, what is that? I said, in Tennessee, we call out a watch. Now, I should have stopped there, but my lips were already moving. I said, this one's got a lifetime guarantee. When it quits, a little tank comes out and shoots you right between the eyes. That is the wrong answer. I now know what a full body search is. There is not a man or woman sitting in this room who wants to have a full body search. No one. No one in this room wants to have a full body search. I can remember back as far as when that first thing first started. I remember once I got in such big trouble because I had a pair of fingernail clippers in my luggage. That man was a mean man too. Put your luggage there, he said. You stand over there. Went over there and I stood over there. He started digging through my luggage. I did not say anything, but I was laughing because I had been gone 47 days. That was bad luggage. I had underwear in there I was afraid of. And he's laying them on the table. I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, you want to see a security risk? There's a security risk. I'm so scared of those, I lock my suitcase at night. He's digging around. And then he found the fingernail clippers. I never saw a man get so excited in my entire life. Hey, hey, hey! What are these? Tell me, what are these? In Tennessee, we call us fingernail clippers. He said, what are you planning to do with them? He asked. I said, well, I thought maybe after the airplane took off, I could make my way through the fuselage with them.
That's the wrong answer. I saw the look on his face. I just found a little room and I got naked by myself. I knew they would find somebody sooner or later and send them in to check me out. So here's this little 90-year-old lady. And I am standing with my hands over my mouth. I dare not say anything. They have brought two people from another place over to help her stand up. Does this make sense to you? This woman could have had a necklace made out of box cutters and she couldn't have hurt a soul. And she is trembling, and you can hear people in the line saying, "Oh, the poor dear." And I am standing with both hands over my mouth praying, "Dear God, please do not let me go to jail." And then the little lady, bless her heart, she's shaking. She goes, "I tell you something, if I miss my flight, I'm going to kill some people." She missed her flight. So I can't keep my mouth shut, and I don't intend to. I am so tired of people walking around claiming to be children of God with faces that look like they swallowed a profusely sweating toad. Have you ever run into these people?
I've been a Christian for 27 years. And it's been great. I want to say, well, send some missionaries to your face. Your face has not yet received the good news. We ought to be more like dogs. A dog is a man's best friend. A dog is a child's best friend. Why? Because they're filled with joy. Dogs are filled with joy. You can be gone 3 minutes, 3 hours, 3 days, doesn't matter. You come back. That dog is right at the door. He can smell you. He's right at the crack where he can sniff, and that is my master. Whoa! He stinks. I love my master. Whoa, whoa. And then you open the door and he goes, "Hi, ho, whoa, ho, hello. Come and see what I have done." Who has a Doberman? Where are you? Oh, Doberman. That's a dog. You can't put up a sign in your yard. "This property protected by Chihuahua." Yeah, and no, don't even think about 4 French poodles. We have 4. Doberman, you put up a sign that says, "Beware, Doberman." Doberman just looks at you. You're out of there. Did you know that a Chihuahua can kill a Doberman? Get caught in his throat. That's why you see a lot of Dobermans walking around going, "Chihuahua." I want to live. Anybody else out there like that? Don't get me wrong. I just don't want to make a living. I don't want to stay alive. I want to live. I have
It's funny that at this stage in my life, I'm going, I want to live, because you can start now. I have run into nobody who doesn't want to live fully alive, who doesn't want to feel like I felt when I jumped out of an airplane with my 18-year-old daughter on her birthday. I let her go first to see if it worked. Like I felt when I jumped off of an 80-foot cliff in Canada, the painted rocks in the boundary waters that separate Canada and Minnesota, and went into the water and felt every fiber of my life tingling. You see, that's what we want, and sometimes people chase that. They dive off buildings. They do things that bring them this close to death because of the rush. But the truth of the matter is that I believe that our Creator created us to be fully alive. I believe that when St. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is man fully alive, he meant it. Henry David Thoreau said that most men live lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with their song still in them. That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because I've been there. I've been on that path. Ben Franklin said that many men die at 25 and aren't buried until they're 75. And life isn't without pain. I could tell you about coming down a hill on a bicycle doing 51 miles an hour. I put it on YouTube. It is the most exciting thing. Scares you to death. There are curves. There are bugs. At 51 miles an hour on a bicycle, a bug is a dangerous thing. My wife says, honey, you are one acorn away from death. Don't do that. So I'm coming down 50 miles an hour and my eyes are bugging out, looking for acorns. I'm looking for acorns. You can't see them very good because you're doing 51 miles an hour. And I'm looking so hard for acorns, I didn't see the stupid dog. Dog came out from a driveway, barking and snarling at my heels, scared the daylights out of me. And I went like that, and the wheel of the bicycle started to oscillate. And at 51, the oscillation almost vibrates the bike right from underneath your body. The only way I could get it to stop was to step on the brakes. But I got the dog coming at me. And I watched the dog, and I was afraid he was going to get me. And that was when I hit the acorn. But while I was sliding, I knew I'm alive. There was pain, but I knew I'm alive. And I determined somewhere, as all of this was happening to me, that this is something that I need, not just for my physical life. This is something that I need for my spiritual life. This is something that I need for my emotional life and my social life.
That's the unforgettable Ken Davis on today's edition of Focus on the Family, and we'll continue this message next time. Jim, I've always appreciated hearing from Ken. He has such a unique perspective on life.
He really does, John, and I appreciate his enthusiasm for getting out there and enjoying those adventures that make him feel alive. I can't wait for you to hear where his message is leading. Ken had a major revelation after someone took his picture on the beach one day, and I'll just leave it at that for now. It'll be a cliffhanger until next time, so be sure to join us.
Well, I'm going to be there, and I hope you can be too for the next episode of Focus on the Family. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller.
Ken Davis's zest for life is so contagious. It's like an open invitation for everyone to hop on the joy train. His energy makes you want to embrace life with the same enthusiasm. I just know we're in for more fantastic stories next time on the program. And I'm especially curious about the one where someone snapped a photo of Ken at the beach. Can't wait to hear how that moment left a mark on his life. Our resource offering today is called Start Here by Valerie Burton. By asking frank, straightforward questions and taking specific, doable action steps, you can move confidently toward the authentic life you were created to live. You can order your copy by giving us a call on 031-716-3300 or find it online when you visit safamily.co.za. And if you're in Cape Town, please be sure to have a look at the details of our events with Rob Parsons and Catherine Hill. I hope to see you there. Thanks for listening in today. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Graham Schnell, inviting you to join us for the conclusion of our program with Ken Davis tomorrow as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.